солдать эту песню.
Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your VTOS host, Jen and Joe.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
That song is dedicated to Caleb, who is a VTOS
impersonator.
Yeah, I was going to say tribute singer.
That's close enough. Joe's favorite singer, if you guys haven't seen him, go on YouTube or just go to our page. Joe and I just
send memes back and forth
all day about it. So good. You have to pardon my voice. I'm losing my voice.
Losing your voice?
It is that time of year, Joe. You know why?
Why?
Because it's year end and I have to collect all the money for my work. And
oh, talk on the phone all day long.
All day long. And I'm telling you, my throat is burning.
You need to drink some honey.
Yeah, I do. Joe and I take raw honey to soothe our throats when
it
we're doing
long. It helps my golden voice.
Long conventions and such. But I have this very deep voice tonight.
Smoke another one.
Menthols.
Did you hear about the earthquake?
No.
That went on?
I did not.
On December 12th, there was a 4.4 earthquake near...
Did you fart?
Springs, yeah. Spring City, Tennessee. Okay.
So that's like middle of Tennessee, right?
Closer to the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Bottom and over.
Okay.
Yeah. But 167 miles away in Atlanta, Georgia, Dana, who you've all heard on the show, on the Ghostly Encounters show, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen because it's really cool.
Show.
But she was 167 miles away in Atlanta sleeping, and it woke her up in the middle of the night.
That's crazy.
So that was a pretty big earthquake.
There seems to be a lot more earthquake type things going on in the world. I mean, all over the world. So, like,
there's one right now in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think they said they had 1,000 aftershocks. It's just constantly going. And there was also a seismologist. Mm-hmm. Seismologist saw that there was a geographic ripple that went completely around the earth. You couldn't feel it, but you could actually see it on the Richter scales, and it went around the earth, and each place it went lasted 20 minutes.
I wonder what kind of effect that has on the paranormal.
But you wonder what the heck is going on.
Okay, so like if an earthquake has that kind of effect on the physical earth, I'm wondering if like opening a portal or conjuring something has a ripple effect on the spiritual realm.
Don't know.
Better call Zach Baggins and find out.
Well, get him
on the show. I need to talk to that guy.
You just want to play with his hair.
Yeah, that too. All righty. So, Joe, it's our Christmas special.
Christmas spooktacular.
It's our second or third? Is this our third?
I think it's the second. I don't know.
Oh, great. Now I'm going to be doing that the whole show. It's going to be in my sleep. So last night I had this weird dream that I... Okay, so I have this friend who lives in Las Vegas, right? And he's this big stunt man and he does stunt coordinating, right? I don't know why every once in a while I dream about being at his house. It's not his house, but it's his house. And it was in his house and I was dusting it. He came home and he walked in and I'm like dusting his house.
That's very paranormal.
I'm like, okay, one, why am I dreaming this? And two, why am I dreaming this?
We have very weird dreams.
We do. Luckily, I haven't had any like scary, spooky dreams lately.
You know, weird thing though.
What?
Weird thing.
What?
You know, our listeners know that I have dreams about Jackie. And since I got my new mattress and I'm actually sleeping now.
Yeah,
I did get my new mattress, folks.
Yay, finally.
I actually had three dreams of her since I've had my new mattress.
That's awesome. I wonder because you're getting into such a deep sleep.
That's possible.
That you're going into that subconscious.
I'm thinking that, yeah.
Were you snoring?
I don't know. I can't hear myself snore.
I've woken myself up snoring. Oh my God. There's been days, man. I'm telling you, we just work so hard and work hard, play hard. And you just wake yourself up snoring. Or a creepy clown is standing over you and there you have a nightmare and you wake up like, hey, leave me alone. But
so what is the history of telling ghost stories on Christmas?
I mean,
even Christmas songs have, they say, you know, telling ghost stories and stuff in them.
Yeah, so it, you know, with the list of all like the modern Christmas traditions, they were either borrowed from pagan winter festivals or invented by the English during the 19th century.
Okay.
It's kind of remarkable how little Christmas has changed. You know, it's like been 160 years since this like tradition had started.
And if you want to know the history of Christmas, you can tune into our show from last year.
Yeah, it was a good show.
I just threw that in there. I don't know just why.
Listen to it.
After you listen to this
10
one.
Times. We need to get the ratings up. So people still send cards. They decorate evergreen trees. They go to door-to-door caroling. I don't know if anybody would do that anymore because you probably get shot.
Speaking about caroling.
Oh, yes, Joe. Tell everybody. Tell our listeners.
So, side note, rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole.
At the corner of Alexis and Secor here in Toledo, there's a weed sticking out of the curb. Somebody decorated the weed. And now it is worldwide. I saw an ad or a news thing in Russia today from Russia about the Toledo Christmas weed.
Yeah, so it's just this like old weed growing out of the sidewalk. Somebody hung one bulb on it. The next day
there's tinsel and now it's
lights.
The whole pole is covered. This Friday night, which will be
after
you're listening to this, but today is Wednesday and we're recording, but they actually are expecting 2,000 people to show up and sing Christmas carols at the Christmas weed.
That is awesome. So they also put some donation boxes out there so people can donate items in need for needy families in Toledo. And then the mayor did this decree and wrote up this declaration.
Declaration?
Declaration? Oh my God, I can't even talk. I have no voice and I can't even talk. About the Christmas weed in Toledo. Our mayor has a really funny sense of humor, you know?
I saw this video.
It's so funny.
Of this kid that thought he was really cool. He said he was a West Side gangster, and he ran up, broke it, took a piece of the tree, ran back in his car, okay? Posted the video on Facebook. Since then, he's actually gone back and duct taped that part back on and apologized to the whole city of Toledo for being such a jerk.
Figures. Damn West Toledo ones. Oh, wait, I'm one of them.
So, anyhow, this Friday night, I'm going over there.
Why not?
Tonight, as we're recording, the Toledo Jeep Owners Club or whatever has a parade going on over there right now.
Oh, my God, I love it.
So, it started out as this person leaving church and seeing this weed sticking out of the ground and put an ornament on it. And now the whole corner is full. There was a Santa there yesterday waving at cars as they're driving.
I love it.
But anyhow.
It's a new Christmas tradition.
I think it is. I think it's going to grow.
Like a weed?
Like a weed.
But you know what's great? You know, like, I think at this time of year, because, you know, the world is so crazy, people just want some fun and to enjoy the Christmas season.
And I think that's what this is, because it's a 2-foot-tall weed. And the whole city, and now it's international news about Toledo
news.
Christmas weed.
Yeah, we need some more weed in Toledo. I mean, decorations for weed, I mean.
But
that's how traditions get started. And, you know, there's long been a tradition of telling ghost stories on Christmas. And, you know, it kind of sparked, I mean, it goes way back, right? Back to pagan days, but like during the Victorian age is when it really came up like into the forefront. So, you know, some of the most interesting Victorian Christmas traditions have almost been completely, erase from memory. It used to start with like 5 or 6 English speaking people who would meet around a fire on Christmas Eve. They would start telling each other ghost stories. There was a British humorist named Jerome K. Jerome. That's his name. Jerome K. Jerome. Get my mirror. I think people from the 80s would remember that. As part of his introduction to an anthology of Christmas ghost stories titled Told After Supper, that was 1891. So nothing satisfies us on Christmas Eve but to hear each other tell authentic anecdotes about specters. So specters, I'm thinking as ghosts, yeah. Right? So the practice of gathering around the fire on Christmas Eve to tell stories about ghosts was just as much a part of, Christmas for the Victorian English as Santa Claus is for us, right? So now, traces of this forgotten tradition kind of appear here and there at Christmas time, although, it's not generally, that common. Mm-hmm. So one of, the instance, like you said, Joe, was this classic Christmas song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. They say there'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. I won't sing it because I will not torture my poor listeners who's probably in their car going, please don't sing, please, even though my voice is deep like Barry White today. And then one of the most obvious examples of Victorian ghost stories have persisted in modern Christmas celebrations, however, the classic Dickens tale, Christmas Carol, where, the ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future came. No, you just went and saw a Christmas Carol, didn't you?
At the Valentine Theater, it was put on by the Toledo Rep, where we actually investigated their building. It's very haunted. And that was really cool. It's the first time I've ever been to a real play.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to start making it a regular tradition because it was actually really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if people in Toledo know, but the Valentine Theater was this historic theater and it was shut down for years. I think the building was abandoned and then probably maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think in the early 90s. I'm not sure.
Totally revamped it into this beautiful theater and they do Christmas Carol at Christmas time. Mm-hmm.
Plays there all the time.
Yeah, they have plays. They have ballet. Concerts. They do classic movies.
Oh, movies?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sometimes they'll play like old black and white classic films. But that I wonder, being an old building that gets restored, like I wonder if there's anything in there like haunted.
Well, I'm sure there is. We talk about that all the time. How once you start remodeling a place, the ghost activity ramps up. But what's kind of neat is when they remodel it back to the original.
Yeah.
One of the traditions that in our family, we're a police family, and we always waited up for midnight for this All Points Bulletin. I want to play it for you. It's 1:12 long, but hopefully it'll come out and you'll be able to listen to it. But this is awesome.
So, my mom's dad was a police officer.
Yeah.
Grandpa Best, he was a sergeant in the Toledo Police Department, and my mom and dad always had a police radio. So back in the 60s to 70s into the early 80s, you could listen to the police calls if you had a police radio, right?
Yeah, we always and uncles all had them.
Yeah So it was like a thing, like my dad would stay up late and listen to police radio, or if you couldn't sleep, you get up and just listen to the police radio. But every midnight on Christmas Eve they would play this.
Yeah, so let me play this for you.
30, can you get a call back? Yeah, the car is still here. I'm not seeing her, so I'll make herself known.
Copy, and I'll cruise in by unless you have an emergency.
Attention all cars and listeners. Be on the lookout for a short, jolly individual dressed in red and trimmed in white who is constantly saying, ho, ho, ho. Subject was last seen operating a sleigh being pulled by 8 reindeer southbound from the North Pole. This subject's method of operation is that he spreads joy and cheer everywhere. If the subject is observed, all units are advised to assist the subject as much as possible. If found, the subject will bring you happiness all year long. all the members of the Tulare Police Division, the operators of the communications section, and this officer would like to wish all our listeners a very Merry Christmas. WNCE 682, KTS 670, 2400 hours, Christmas Day, 2009.
That still, it kind of chokes me up when I listen to that, because we grew up that, and knowing that the gentleman that actually says that, they play that same recording of him because he did pass away.
Yeah, but he did it for years and years. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a Christmas tradition and a police tradition. So that's really cool. It takes you back to like when you were little. Hopefully.
And we all had to, well, I don't know if we had to. I don't know if Dad beat us to listen to it, but we all stayed up to hear that.
Yeah.
And then we would go to bed because the police are saying that Santa Claus is on his way.
I remember being a little kid and listening to that, and then going out and looking out the front door, and I saw a red light in the sky. It was probably an airplane.
Yeah.
And I was like, Rudolph's coming! Oh my God, I still remember, never forgot that. I can't remember a lot of my childhood, but that I remember. I'm like seeing that red light in the sky. But it was cool. So, Joe, do we have a message from one of our listeners?
We did have some callers.
Yeah.
So let me play you the first one here.
Okay.
Hey, this is Sarah Shelton from Haunted Toledo. Haunted Toledo wants to wish Joe and Jen Shortridge from our favorite 222 Paranormal podcast and your listeners a very Merry Christmas, blessed Yule, wonderful Kwanzaa, and we hope you had a happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays, and may your new year be safe and blessed. Bye, guys.
So that was from Sarah.
Oh, nice. It's always fun when friends and family call in to the show, Joe.
Yes.
My nose Joe's is got running. The Christmas tingles. Don't get your tinsel in a tangle.
Sorry, my nose was running. Okay.
Pace after it.
So I'd like to tell you a little story that I found on a website. I was out looking for Christmas stories. It's called The Returned Relative. It was Christmas time in 1995 or 96 at my aunt's house on a reservation in North Dakota. Some of my family was in the living room watching television. The kids were playing in the rooms or sleeping. My aunt and uncle and I were sitting at the table putting a puzzle together. My cousin, who worked at a casino, would come home around midnight or 1 a.m. This night, as she pulled up and was walking towards the house, she looked in the window and saw me sitting at the table, my uncle sitting across from me, and someone standing to my left of me, and someone standing in the corner. So she continued to walk to the house, thinking of nothing of it. As we were sitting there talking, she looked at me and asked me, who was standing next to me a few minutes ago, and who was in the corner? I told her no one, and she said, yeah, there was someone standing next to you. It looked like your mom, and she was playing with your hair. She said this person was running her hand on my hair, as a mother does as a child. It kind of freaked me out because I was probably 12 or 13 at the time. My cousin swears up and down that someone was standing over me, rubbing my head, and watching me put the puzzle together with my aunt and uncle, and that there was another person standing behind this person. We got around to thinking it was probably her mom that we saw. She passed away on her birthday a week before Christmas in 1992. In my family, we consider aunts and uncles to be just like moms and dads. After thinking that could have been her, it didn't scare me that much. However, we couldn't figure out who the person was in the corner. And always around Christmas time, something strange always happens to us. We just think it's her visiting us again. That was from V. Page.
Oh, fun. Yeah, you know, the holidays are always very emotional for people. So I think a lot of times it's a day of remembrance, a time of remembrance. And who's to say that our you know, loved ones who passed on don't want to come around and help celebrate and you know, comfort us at that time. A lot of people go through depression or sadness during the holidays because they miss the people that, you know, have passed away or are lonely or, you know, just sad. And yeah. So, you know, if you are in that situation, just know that, you know, your loved ones may be around. They might not be here physically, but, you know, talk to them as if they were here. I'm mm-hmm. sure they'll hear you. And if you are, you know, feeling down or lonely or just in a holiday block, go out and volunteer, you know.
Yeah.
Go do something good for somebody else. You may not have the money to do something, but your time is just mm-hmm. as valuable, you know, and that I think will fulfill some of this holiday blahs of blues, you know.
Well, I know Melinda Carver always says that people, that our loved ones are always around us. Mm-hmm. So
let's hear from her.
Yeah, that's a good segue.
Joe and Jennifer, this is Melinda Carver, psychic medium and author. For Christmas, I'd love to share the story of playing Ring Around a Rosie with children ghosts at a hotel in downtown Buffalo, New York. I was attending a conference one day, and I kept hearing laughter in the hallways, but every time I opened the door to leave my room or come in my room, after hearing this laughter, there were no living, breathing children in the hallway. So when I would look down, I would see a figure of five little ghost children. There were three boys and two girls playing in the hallways together. They were going into people's rooms. They were running into where we were having our conference. They were in the restaurants. They were running through the bars. So for a day and a half, I kept seeing these five little ghost children playing all throughout the hotel. And I had tried talking to them a few times, but sometimes because I have a lot of white light around me, it's scary for the ghosts because they don't want to go into a tunnel. So they were a little nervous and hesitant, even though I could see them. One little girl started talking to me. And she was the youngest of the five children, and she had died because someone had pushed her into the river that was near downtown. And one of the oldest boys in the group, he was about 16 looking. The little girl was about 4, and he had been run over by a carriage, horse and buggy, for that time period. And they had been in this hotel for years and years and years. Children ghosts need a lot of high energy, and a hotel with all its bustle and hustle makes a great place for children ghosts to be found. Anyhow, I had talked to the little girl, and then she brought the 16-year-old boy over to me, and they were telling me their stories of how long they were at the hotel and what happened to them right before they died. And they were concerned because they didn't want to go into the white light tunnel because they were afraid they could not all be together. These five children, some of them had been together for 200 years in a ghost form. Others had been more recent, in the last 50 years. I assured them that if they all held hands and walked into the white light tunnel, they would be able to go and cross and see their families and be all together to continue to play and laugh and live on the other side. So the youngest little boy, who was about 7 in the group, he had been killed. He had been strangled. So the youngest little boy said that he wanted to play Ring Around the Rosie. And one of my friends saw me in the hallway and came down and said, "Who are you talking to?" And since this was a regular business conference, not something in body, mind, spirit, or paranormal, I just told her, "I'm talking to the children that are ghosts in the hallway, and they want to play Ring Around the Rosie." So we stood together, and she said, "I've been hearing laughter, and I didn't know, and I kept opening my door, and I couldn't see the kids. I will help you play Ring Around the Rosie with them." Because I had explained to her that their request was they wanted to go through the light, playing Ring Around the Rosie, singing and dancing in a circle, so that they could all leave together. So we began to start playing Ring Around the Rosie. We were holding hands with the five ghost children. And as we began to dance around in a circle, I created the white light and opened it for them so that when they were able to be finished, and we said, "We all fall down," the all five fell into the white light to go back to see their own families and spirits. It was very moving. Both of us were crying afterwards because I could see them, one by one, falling into the white light together, holding hands, and still laughing and singing, "Let's play again. Let's play again." It was one of the most moving moments in my psychic medium professional life. So that's my story to share with your listeners, Joe and Jennifer. Merry Christmas and Happy Yule to all of your listeners and to both of you. Thank you.
That's so nice of her.
Oh, I miss her so much.
To call in. Yeah, we got her.
She has a million stories and we need to hear them all.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to book a reading with her, you can get a hold of her on her Facebook page, Melinda Carver. We love her. Miss you.
Awesome person. Awesome.
Can't wait to see you next year, hopefully at some conferences or just go out and get a drink. I have a little Christmas ghost story here that I'm going to read for you. Bear with me, my voice. My poor listeners. I love you guys. All right. So this one is The Bright Light and the Calm Watchdog.
Ooh.
Whoop, 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 whoop. All right, here's how the story goes. I had an unusual visitor on Christmas Day 2008. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Santa Claus passing by my house in Bloomington, Indiana. The day started typical fashion with the opening of a gifts around the Christmas tree. I served an early Christmas dinner for friends and family, and everybody departed by 5 p.m., except for my sister and brother-in-law who live with me. They were sleeping in the bedroom at the end of the hall with the door open. I went into my bedroom with my dog, Toby.
Toby.
Toby's the dog. Okay. And shut the door securely. I was just dozing off when I heard the latch on my bedroom door open. I waited several seconds for my sister or brother-in-law to ask me whatever they came in to say, but there was nothing or no other sounds, right? So it was almost 7 p.m. My bedroom was pitch black. Sorry. I'll get through the story and then I got to tell you guys something. Okay. I had left the lights on in the kitchen and the bathroom, and there were lots of Christmas lights still going in the living room, so the hallway would have been well lit. I would have been able to see whoever was at the door just by lifting my head. I pushed the blankets down and lifted my head from the pillow. But just as I would have been able to see who was in the doorway, an extremely bright light hit me right in the eyes. I shielded my eyes and yelled, "Turn out that bleep, bleep, bleep light. You're blinding me." The light immediately disappeared and I heard the bedroom door latch. On my bedside light is a touch lamp. So I tapped it on and looked around the bedroom. There was no one in the bedroom except for me and Toby. Toby jumped off the bed and went to the door without showing any signs of alarm. At first, I wasn't frightened because Toby is a Dutch shepherd, well-trained to be an excellent watchdog and proven personal protection dog. Since Toby was already up, I decided to let him go outside and see what sis or brother-in-law needed. When I went into the hallway, I could see both of them still in bed. I took Toby to the living room to let him outside, and there was nobody there either. So who opened my bedroom door and turned the spotlight on in my face? Like most people, the thought of loved ones are always close at hand during the holiday season. When I first went to lie down, I was thinking how happy I was that my small family had enjoyed a pleasant Christmas, but it would have been so much better if my mother and my brother had still been alive to share it with us. I would like to think that it was my brother's spirit stopping by to say Merry Christmas and still thinking of you. I haven't been able to debunk the strange event or any kind of rational explanation. I'm half afraid that my heart stopped during my sleep, and the light I saw was the bright light of people report after having near-death experience. Leave it to me to see the stairway to heaven and ruin my chance of an external paradise by saying, "Turn that bleepity bleep bleep light out." I made a mental note that just in case I ever see another bright light cleaning, I'll clean up my language just in case.
That's cool.
That is funny. Okay, so right earlier when Melinda's
story
was going, I just had a weird feeling. I got goosebumps and chills all over my body, and there was like a cold spot by me.
Oh.
And I swear I saw something white go behind me. Okay, so I'm like sitting here, I'm looking directly into the window.
Yeah.
Like there's a window behind.
Yeah, I know. I can see you right here.
Okay. Oh, no, okay. But I saw something white go behind me. earlier.
Really?
Yeah, but I just thought, oh, maybe it's just a reflection or something. But it wasn't like something outside.
Yeah.
It. I don't know. Well, now that you say that,
when I was...
Weird stuff happens in our studio.
When I was getting these sound bites together from Sarah, Scott, Melinda, and Harold, I kept seeing white lights in the computer as if they were behind me. So maybe something is here.
No, there's a Christmas ghost in the studio tonight.
But we did get a call from Scott Lambert.
Let's hear Scott.
All right.
Greetings. This is Scott L. of Ghostly Talk Radio, wishing our dear friends, Joe and Jen, at 222 Paranormal Podcast, the happiest of holidays. And most of all, you guys all out there listening to our shows, have the happiest of holidays and have a wonderful new year.
Scott's awesome.
He is. If you guys haven't checked out his show, definitely you can go
to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Check it out. It's so good. And we love Scott. He is such a good voice for podcasting.
Dude. Really cool dude. Yeah. He's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So I want to talk about the haunted tree.
Ooh, tell me.
My parents and I, this is not me, this is a story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not my parents, but
your parents and my parents too.
No.
Did you know that?
Really?
You got the same daddy? Sorry.
But anywho, my parents and I live in a small home that was around 90 years old. Their year would have been 1996. We lived there from the time I was 7 years old to the time I was 19. From the very day we moved in, I felt I was not alone. One year around Christmas time, I was having a friend spend the night. The heat had just shut off briefly, and she and I were sitting in the living room watching television when the temperature dropped substantially.
Just like the studio.
Yes, because we have to turn the heater off because it makes too much noise. But anyhow, as I rose to turn up the heat, the Christmas tree began shaking violently. Ornaments were flying off right and left, and she and I were terrified. We ran upstairs, lay down on my bed. My white cat curled up with us, and my door was slightly open. When I gazed out into the dark hallway, I was horrified to see a tall, white figure run down the hall. I turned to my friend as she acknowledged that she had seen the exact same thing. She never spent the night again. Caitlin Williams sent that.
You know, that's pretty scary if you go spend the night at somebody's house and see a ghost.
See a ghost running by and the tree shaking violently.
Yeah, that would freak
Funny
me
story.
Out.
Now that I read that and it kind of reminded me, when I was over at Jackie's mom's, well, Jackie lived with her mom, obviously, when we were in high school. I stopped by their house one day, and they had a Christmas tree that was on the front porch that spun around. It was on an electric base, and it actually spun around.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it'd be really nice to turn the tree on and let it spin around so that when they got home, they would see the Christmas tree all lit up.
Well, it
got caught somehow.
Yeah.
Fell over and was rolling around the porch when they came home, and they were like, who turned this on?
It was a ghost. Nope, just Joe.
Yeah.
Just Joe. That's a good one.
But speaking of scary stories, Harold from Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society called and left us a message.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Hello, everyone. This is Harold St. John from the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society. First, I'd like to thank Joe and Jen from 222 Paranormal Podcast for allowing me to share this haunted Christmas story with everybody. I want to take everybody back in time a little bit to my childhood. I grew up in a house on the east side of Toledo, and as everybody knows, some of the houses over there in the Euclid Avenue area are kind of older, bigger homes that were built at the turn of the century. So growing up in this house, somewhat of a large family, there were six of us children, my mom and dad, and mom and dad always had another kid in the neighborhood or two living with us, so there was always a house full. So I want to talk a little bit about the paranormal things that were going on in that home that probably have brought me to what I do today, and that's to be involved in a paranormal group myself. So this house, I think, was built in the late 1800s. We moved in the very early 70s, so I was preteen time. I want you guys to picture in your mind's eye, the upstairs alone had eight bedrooms, including a bathroom, in a long hallway that at the time seemed like it might have been 100 feet long. I'm sure it was nothing more than 20 or 25 feet long, with all the bedrooms branching off to the left and the right. And as probably the way it was meant to be, my bedroom sat at the top of the stairs, a little bit off to the right, and it was lined up perfectly with the attic door. Now, you got to remember, everybody that grew up in this house at one time or another witnessed what we would consider paranormal activity. So I'm probably around 10, maybe, at the time. And at night, and this happened every night, I would lay in my bed, and I would hear the footsteps going across the attic from the front of the house to the back of the house, as if somebody was looking for something or just scurrying around the attic. But it was heavy footsteps. After maybe 5 minutes or so, the footsteps would eventually make its way down the attic stairs, and the attic stairs had a little bit of a bend and twist. You remember, this house was built in the 1800s, so if anybody can picture in their mind's eye what the staircase may have looked like. And at the bottom of the stairs, there was a heavy wooden door. So I would hear the footsteps come down the stairs. Now, I'm laying in my bed, and at this time, I know it's coming down. I would begin to pull the blankets over around my neck and most of the time over my head, as I would always hear the attic door open. I could hear the slowly moving of the door handle, and the door would eventually open, and I could see the shadows from the hallway. And then this entity would come down into the hallway, and he would head off to the right, which would go down the hallway and directly across in front of my door. That was probably at the age of maybe 12 when I first started seeing these shadow figures. And he would walk down, and when I knew it was safe, when he would get down to the end of the hallway, 15 or 20 feet, would give me my opportunity to run straight out the bedroom and down the stairs into my mom and dad's bedroom. And of course, my father, being an old French Canadian guy, probably at the time didn't want to hear about it. He worked hard and got up early. And he would remind me of what time he went to work in the morning, would send me back to my bedroom. And I would head back up the stairs slowly. And you got to remember, coming from downstairs upstairs was a big, long, twirling staircase as well. The bottom line is I knew I was going back up to my bedroom after telling on a ghost, and I always figured he would really be angry with me because I just told on him. I would go back into my bedroom, and once again, I would hear the footsteps, and once again, I would pull the covers up around my neck. And sometimes he would even stop in my doorway, and the first glimpse of him that he would stop and pause, I would pull the covers over my head, thinking in my mind that if I didn't see him, he didn't see me. Sometimes when I pulled the covers back down after a few moments, he was gone. Thank God. This went on for, I don't know, a couple of few years. I eventually, my fear as I got older, I think gave way to curiosity. And I had asked Santa Claus, so this is a Christmas story, this is where the haunted Christmas part who comes in. I asked Santa Claus for an audio recorder, knowing in my mind that I was going to try to record this. Lo and behold, Santa Claus brought me a recorder. You got to remember back in the early 70s, there were what we call today reel-to-reels, and they would come with like a 40-foot microphone cord. So I would stretch the microphone underneath the bed, underneath the rugs, underneath the door, and into the hallway, hoping to capture and document these footsteps that I heard on a nightly basis. Water would also come out of the house. Voices were often heard by every member of the family eventually. And lo and behold, I think I documented and captured some paranormal activity. I wouldn't call them EVPs, but I did pick up the footsteps and stuff like that and the water turning on. This went on for, continued on for a couple of years. Now, here's where the Christmas party comes from. Every member of the family, you got to remember, I had 5 other brothers, a couple of what I would consider adopted brothers, all living on the second floor where our bedrooms were at night. Sometimes we would, you know, all be in the same bedroom in the morning because we had all witnessed or heard some paranormal activity. Wouldn't you know that at Christmas time every year, my brothers and I would find where my mom and dad were hiding the Christmas presents. And we would keep a pocket knife, and we were like really sneaky and actually professional at this. We would hunt down the gifts, and we would find all the gifts that were supposedly from Santa Claus. And my brother would even got smarter. He would bring a razor blade, and we would slip the scotch tape around the packages and open up the packages and see everything we got for Christmas. And then we would tape them back shut where nobody could tell that we were into the gifts. So every Christmas Eve, when we opened up our gifts after midnight mass, all of us knew already what we were getting for Christmas. But it was funny because we had to pretend like we were surprised and shocked by it. So I think my mom and dad caught on to this. The last couple of years that we lived in that house, my mom and dad would hide all the gifts up in the attic. Now, there wasn't a single one of us that was brave enough to go up into that attic and try to get find out what we got for Christmas in advance, because we were petrified of the entity, or the shadow man, that lived up in that attic that we eventually called Henry. So I can remember one Christmas, we all went up there. There was three or four of us brothers together in broad daylight, of course, to try to sneak into the presence and find out where we were. But I think the funny thing about sharing the story with you guys is, wasn't that a perfect spot for my mom and dad to hide the presents to keep us kids out of them? They would hide them in the attic with Henry the ghost. I think that was really funny times. And it's just one of the things I remember. I can remember down in bed and talking to my brother. I think I got a drum. She would go up and look. My brother would say, I'm not going up there. Why don't you go up there? And it would take all four or five of us together to be brave enough to go up in the attic to find our Christmas gifts. In the last couple of years, none of us would go up there. So we were actually surprised at Christmas Eve with our gifts, because I think we were all too afraid to break into the attic. I could go on with this story for a long time, but I don't want to bore everybody here at Christmas time. Eventually, I became a paranormal investigator because of this home. When I was younger, I wasn't unlike anybody else. I would have seances and things in the house that were proving that we were getting some paranormal documentation out of there. And that's why I do what I do today. Growing up in a haunted house on the east side, an old home, turn-of-the-century home, witnessing paranormal activity from a very young age that scared me to death. Like I say, fear eventually turned into curiosity. And I knew that there had to be other people in the world that were witnessing the same things that I was. And I thought that maybe I could reach out and help them. But I just remember some of the Christmases back there. I wanted to get into the presence, and just like every other kid, probably in the world. But I was not going up to this haunted attic to find out what Santa Claus may have brought me this year. Anyways, that's my haunted Christmas story. I hope it didn't bore you guys too much. But once again, I want to thank Joe and Jen from 222 Paranormal Podcast for allowing me to share this quick story with you. And I want to wish all the listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. See you soon. Happy hauntings.
So that was from Harold from Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society.
So interesting. I would love to see that house. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
But I believe that the church bought it and tore that house down.
Wow. Darn.
If I can remember right.
Darn it.
And you know, I can't remember anything.
Me neither. I don't even know my own name these days.
Did I ever tell you the story? Another rabbit hole, folks.
We love it.
Did I ever tell you the story that one time I went to the library to get a book on tape about memory enhancement?
Mm-hmm.
And halfway home, I remembered I never even looked for the book.
Yeah. Did you forget you told me that like 1,200 times? Yeah,
probably.
Just kidding. So that was just an amazing story from Harold. But, you know, there was one person who we really wanted to get on the show, and we just couldn't make it happen time-wise.
I tried.
Really want to thank Adam Westlake for reaching out to us and trying to get him on the show. But we're definitely going to have Adam on the show. If you guys don't know who he is, he's a medium, and he is on the convention circuit with us, and he's just really amazing.
Really good guy.
Yeah, great guy, good friend of the show, and just listen in 2019, and we're going to do a show, just going to dedicate a show all just to him and have him come on in.
I was going to have him come in the studio, and with all the stuff going on, I didn't let it happen.
It's been a lot going on
so,
here, Joe.
But I personally and Jen wanted to thank him for offering up his services to come in and read stories for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I'm terrible at reading.
Okay, so.
But look forward to us in 2019.
Yeah, so 2019 is going to bring a lot of great things. Many, 52 more fantastic shows for you guys. We, as you know, we come out every week, do a weekly show for you. We are starting to book our shows and events for 2019.
Yeah,
so
the list is right there on,
yeah,
that, on my
it's
whiteboard.
Growing. It's growing. So we will post out where we're going to be in advance. And if, have a ghost story or are an author or somebody in the paranormal and would like to be on the show, please email us at 222paranormal.no.
Just go up on our website.
Email us at 222paranormal@gmail.com. Gmail.com, that is. Sorry for all the people who had reached out in 2018. We would still love to have you on the show.
We just could not get the recording thing down.
Yeah, we just
for the call-ins.
And just to let everybody know, we just thank you all for your support. This last year has been really amazing. I'm going to get emotional.
very busy.
You know, and thanks for all the thoughts and prayers. You know, my dad, our dad, Joe's dad, my dad, all of our dads,
yeah.
You know, went through cancer and it was really, really tough.
He's cancer free.
But he's cancer free.
Yep.
And starting to eat again. He did have to have a couple surgeries to open up his throat. You know, the radiation did take his toll, but, you know, we're really lucky. Sorry. But anyways, but, you know, 2019, we're going to come out full force. We're going to book some great shows.
Yeah.
We're going to have great speakers. We're going to have great events. We want to meet you guys. We want to hear more ghost stories. We want to go ghost hunting.
Yeah.
As much as we can.
But if you do have an event coming up that you are in charge of and you'd like us at your show, get a hold of us.
Yeah,
we'll work something out.
We definitely would love to see some new cities, new faces, meet new friends.
We need to go out that way.
Yeah.
We always go this way.
But
we need to go that way.
But Joe,
yeah,
we're going to go back to some of our very, very favorite conventions this year.
Michigan Paracon, Mid-Michigan Paracon,
Butler,
UFOCon in Houghton Lake.
They're all so good.
Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
That was amazing. So, yeah, really hope you guys come out and see us. You know, look for our calendar. The year's not over yet. We still got another show for you this year. We'll do our yearly wrap up.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about on our year-end show.
Everything. The year in 2018 with 222, and we're going to tell you some funny stories from the road, maybe. But, Joe.
Yeah.
I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
Yes. Happy whatever
Merry
you celebrate.
Merry Christmas, Mom. Our listener.
Yeah. Oh. Hi, Mom. She doesn't know how to get on the internet.
I know. They don't have internet.
They don't. Nope.
So, anyhow.
All right.
We want to thank everyone for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoyed the stories. And let's leave them
with some Christmas music. Definitely. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Get back up on our Facebook page, share our show, all that jazz.
Holiday season, and stay safe. And if you're feeling lonely, just listen to our show.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye, everyone.